You have your scriptures with you this morning. Please turn to the gospel according to John. We're continuing to walk our through John. We are in chapter 6 this morning. I pray that you've been blessed this morning as I have. God inhabits the praises of his people, and I sense his presence this morning through his spirit. We're in John 6. We're looking at verses 22 to 34. If you're using a Pew Bible, you'll find it on page 891. 2 weeks ago, we were at the feeding of the 5,000. Jesus was up on a mountainside, a hillside, and a large crowd was coming to him. 5,000 men, so maybe up to maybe 19,000 people if you count the women and children, and does this amazing, miraculous event of feeding them all, starting to show that he is greater than Moses. You'll start to show that he is the true bread from heaven. Last week, this journey continued after the feeding of the 5,000. Jesus goes up on the mountain to pray, but he sends the disciples across the sea on the Sea of Galilee. If you remember, as they're out there on the sea, the winds and the waves kick up, and Jesus decides to meet them about three or four miles out on the lake. He walks on the water, and demonstrating again over and over that this is no mere man, but this is the Son of God whom we can trust. So the story here picks up after Jesus has walked on the water, they've crossed to the other side of the sea. Now the people who are back on the other side, after they experienced this great feeding of the 5,000, they're kind of waking up and wondering where Jesus is. So that's kind of where we're at, to give you some context. Before we begin, let's pray. Father, we thank you for this time of worship. Lord, it's great to look out here and know that we're not alone. That we are a people bought by the precious blood of Christ, whom Spirit is drawing all men to himself. All those whom the Father has chosen and plans to give to his Son. Lord, we need you more than ever. Lord, at days we feel strong, and other days we feel so weak. Lord, we thank you, your Spirit is with us. They were brought into a family of God, that we're not walking this life alone. And Lord, I pray that we would grow in our awe, in our admiration of Christ, and we would put him first, no matter what. That he is King, that he is Lord, and he is our ultimate treasure. So Lord, I'm asking that your Spirit would move, that Lord, that you would take these words and cause your people to hear what the Spirit of God is saying. Change us forever for your glory. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. Verses 22 to 34, this is God's word. The next day, the crowd that had stayed on the opposite shore of the lake realized that only one boat had been there and that Jesus had not entered it with the disciples, but they had gone away alone. Then some of the boats from Tiberias landed near the place where the people had eaten the bread after the Lord had given thanks. Once the crowd realized that neither Jesus nor his disciples were there, they got into the boats and went to Capernaum in search of Jesus. When they found him on the other side of the lake, they asked him, "Rabbi, when did you get here?" Jesus answered, "I tell you the truth, you were looking for me not because you saw miraculous signs, but because you ate the loaves and had your fill. Do not work for food that spoils, but for food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. On him God the Father has placed his seal of approval." Then they asked him, "What must we do to do the work God requires?" Jesus answered, "The work of God is this, to believe in the one who he has sent." So they asked him, "Well, what miraculous sign then will you give that we may see it and believe you? What will you do? Our forefathers ate the manna in the desert. As is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat." Jesus said to them, "I tell you the truth, it is not Moses who has given you the bread from heaven, but it is my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. Sir, they said, from now on give us this bread. This ends the reading of God's word this morning. I want to begin this morning with a story from R.C. Sproul. It starts out, a burglar stalked in the neighborhood, watching the homes left unguarded by people who were leaving for vacation. He watched a family loading their suitcases in their car and departed. He waited until dark and then approached the front door and rang the doorbell. There was no answer. The burglar neatly picked the lock and let himself in, and he called into the darkness, "Is anybody home?" He was stunned when he heard the voice in reply, "I see you, and Jesus sees you." He was stunned when he heard the voice in reply. He said, "Who's there?" Again, the voice came back, "I see you, and Jesus sees you." The burglar quickly switched on his flashlight, aimed it in the direction of the voice, and he was instantly relieved when the light revealed a caged parrot reciting the refrain, "I see you, and Jesus sees you." The burglar laughed out loud and switched on the lights, but then he saw it. Beneath the parrot's cage was a huge dog, a huge Doberman Pinscher with the collar Jesus' name on it. And the parrot said, "Attack, Jesus, attack." Obviously, the burglar was not expecting that. As we've been walking through John 6, we're seeing some unexpected things from Jesus. Obviously, the miracle of the feeding of the 5,000, the walking on water, events and signs that'll point us of his identity, his purpose, and our ultimate need of him. This morning, Jesus will start to unpack a dialogue. As you see, it's a lengthy chapter, and it's one we'll approach for 2 or 3 weeks of some hard-hitting, unexpected truths that we need to embrace to come to know Christ a little bit more. And I'm not just talking about those outside the church. I'm talking about those who claim to follow Christ. We need to hear these things anew. The crowd who had experienced this miracle were seeking and running after Jesus. But he says to them, "You seek me because of the loaves and the bread and your belly is full." And for us, he's starting to ask the question, are we only seeking Jesus because of the blessings he brings, or because I truly love him as God, as the Supreme One, as the Infinite One, a one of infinite worth and majesty, who I'd rather be with anyone or anything else? Is it the blessings or the one who gives the blessings? So our theme for this morning is in the form of a question. Do you seek after Jesus because you think he will give you the desires and the idols of your heart? Or do you love and trust him because he's the all-satisfying gift of God that gives his people life and life eternal? We'll look at 3 points this morning. As we think of our hearts and we think of our desires, we put a lot of energy, we put a lot of effort and resources into what we think will fulfill us. So we ask the question, what captures the desires of our hearts, our imagination? Let's start to walk through this. Verse 22. On the next day, the crowd that remained on the other side of the sea saw that there had been only one boat there, and that Jesus had not entered the boat with his disciples, but the disciples had gone away alone. Other boats from Tiberias came near the place where they had eaten the bread after the Lord had given thanks. So when the crowd saw that Jesus was not there, nor his disciples, they themselves got into the boats and went to Capernaum seeking Jesus. Just on the prior day, there was the feeding of the 5,000. As I said, Jesus is beginning to show that he is this prophet that Moses talked about, and people needed to listen to him. It's now morning, the day after, and these people are waking up. They woke up from a night of stuffed bellies. Perhaps they're yawning. Perhaps they're stretching and say, boy, that was an amazing night. I wonder what's for breakfast. They wake up after experiencing this amazing miracle, and you can't miss the magnitude of the miracle. It would be like Jesus showing up at your work or at your high school and just unloading the latest and greatest smartphones with all the apps to the people out of nowhere. You can imagine the excitement of the people. It was palpable. They were just probably just saying, wow. Wow, this is unbelievable. What will he do next? At this time, the people, this large crowd, knew the disciples had head over to the other side. There was only boat on this one side, and the disciples went, but Jesus remained there. But as they're waking up and they're looking around, they're like, where did Jesus go? So as boats were coming in from the other side, they jumped in those boats to make their way over towards Capernaum. And who can blame them? If Jesus is over there, we need to go get him. If this is indeed the one Moses talked about, we want him to be king. We want to be delivered from this ruthless, unjust Roman empire. An empire that oppressed and abused the people. Heavy taxation, unjust abuse, killings, and idolatrous worship. Jesus, in their mind, after seeing this miracle, is this deliverer they're waiting for. They're thinking Caesar has met his match. And if that's not it, then at least we can get some easy food. If he can make bread like this, I'm going where he's going. Jesus can give me food. Jesus can give me protection. He'll make my life a little easier. You can see they're pouring a lot of energy, a lot of effort, chasing after these desires, thinking of what they thought Jesus would be all about. And they would realize their desires are wrong. As they go over to Jesus, Jesus will expose what you're truly seeking for is not what will truly satisfy. And that's a word we need to know today. In a world that says, follow your heart, follow your desires, hear me. Your heart and your desires could be deceiving you. And what you think will bring you lasting joy, lasting satisfaction, will only destroy you. And Jesus, a lover of his people's souls, will start to expose, to correct their desires and where they should land. These people are chasing after Jesus for all the wrong desires, and we do that the same way. We look for things that will fill us. We think it could come from stuff, relationships, money, and Jesus will start to expose the lie of all of those things. And want people to see they need to find their satisfaction, fulfillment in him alone. Point two is the blessings of Jesus are meant to cause you to treasure Jesus and not the blessings. The blessings of Jesus are meant to cause you to treasure Jesus, not the blessings. In verse 25, when they found him on the other side of the sea, they said to him, Rabbi, when did you come here? Jesus answered them, truly, truly, I say to you, you are seeking me not because you saw signs, but because you ate your fill of the loaves. Do not labor for the food that perishes, but for the food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. For on him God the Father has set his seal. According to verse 59, later on in the text, they're at a synagogue is where they found Jesus in Capernaum. And this is where this long dialogue will occur. They say to Jesus, when did you get here? There was only one boat over there, Jesus. We saw the disciples get in, but they crossed over. When did you get here? Jesus doesn't tell them why I walked on water and got here. He doesn't even tell them that. He goes right after their hearts. He goes right after their intentions and starts exposing the idols. He says, truly I say to you, you're seeking me not because you saw signs, because you ate your fill of the loaves. when you consider the good things Jesus is doing, it's easy to get fixated on the good things and not the one who gave them. Who doesn't want healing? Who doesn't want food that just miraculously appears? Think of the good things he gives you. Shelter, home, apartment, money, food, clothing, smartphones, apps, relationships, spouses, and these are good things. But sadly, we take these good things and we turn them into idols. We desire them more than Jesus, who himself is the source of all life. These blessings and signs are meant for us to lift our eyes up at a high, exalted Christ who is God over all. The very one who causes your heart to beat. The very one who causes your lungs to move. The stuff he gives you is meant to show you Christ's goodness and compassion. Signs that are meant to drive you to him to see that all life, all that is good, is a gift from him. And he is the one we are to desire above all other things. He is the one we are to love above all other things. He satisfies. He gives the gifts. He is the good giver. Sadly, sometimes we seek Jesus just to get more stuff. Ask yourself this question. If Jesus stopped blessing your life, would you love him? Is Jesus your highest treasure? Or is it the stuff? Is it the blessing? That's the story of Job in the Old Testament. Job, who was a very, very wealthy man, had a beautiful family. He had it all. Satan goes to God and says, Job only loves you, God, because you've blessed him. Take it all away and see what happens. And God says, go ahead, take it away. In a matter of moments for Job, his family is taken away and killed. His livestock and all that he has, his wealth is destroyed. Even Job himself takes on physical pains and health problems. And for Job, as Gary and his daughter sang, though he slay me, I will praise him. He is my highest treasure. He is my highest good. And even if he takes it all away, I praise him. In God's graciousness and kindness at the end, Job receives twofold. He's blessed, but more than he can imagine. Jesus says, don't labor for food that perishes, but for food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. Labor, pursue, seek that which the Son of Man can give you. Jesus is now taking ordinary bread as an object lesson and saying, for your life, for your soul to have ultimate fulfillment, ultimate satisfaction, Jesus says, that is found in me. People want stuff. We want food. We want the latest gadgets that we quickly take in, but quickly loses its luster, falls away, and we're left with dust. Jesus says, don't just labor for that. We are called to work. We are called to experience these blessings. But what Jesus is saying, that can't be your highest goal. That can't be the idol of your heart. He's saying, don't seek me for those, but seek me because I am the highest good that will give you full and complete satisfaction in all of life. Not in the stuff, but in me. And our last point for this morning, treasuring Jesus, what is that? Treasuring Jesus, what is that? Treasuring Jesus is believing he is Savior and Lord. It's resting that he is Savior and Lord. It's trusting in him solely as Savior and Lord, that he is the supreme one. He is the all-satisfying one who alone gives life and life eternal. Look at verse 28. They said to him, what must we do to be doing the works of God? Jesus answered them, the work of God, that you believe in him who has sent. The crowd, they go right after labor. What must we do? What must we do to gain the Son of Man's favor, to get this gift? What can we do to get the prize? And even our efforts can become an idol, thinking that our striving, thinking that our merit will gain the eternal pleasure of Christ. If it's our efforts, if it's the stuff that we do, then we have something to boast in, and we are only to boast in Christ. Jeremiah 9 reminds us, let not the wise man boast in his wisdom. Let not the rich man boast in his riches. Let this man boast that he knows me. We quickly fall into idols of our sin-stained efforts. Jesus is trying to get us to see our efforts will never fulfill, our efforts will never satisfy. So what do? He says, believe that I am the one. Believe that I am the Lord. I am the great deliverer. I am the one you can depend on. I am the one you can find for eternal satisfaction. The one who made you, the one who gave you breath, spoke the galaxies into existence, says, I need to be your ultimate treasure. Not things, not relationships, not stuff. But find in me enduring forgiveness, enduring life. Jesus is saying, put all the chips on me. Take a step of faith. All that you long for, the meaning, the purpose, the contentment, the belonging, the forgiveness, is in Christ. Not in your efforts, not in your striving, not in the stuff that he gives you, but in Christ. And so they say to him, well, what sign do you do that we may see and believe you? What work do you perform? Frustration is setting in on our part. And they say, well, what? Give us a sign. I don't know what your reaction is. I know what my reaction is. I want to slap him in the face. A sign? Really? I just fed almost 19,000 people? You need another sign? I just picture somebody taking a drink of water and they're making some just shocking comment where you just spew it out all over the place in shock and disbelief. But Jesus is much more patient and kind to us. Another sign. They're just like the people during Moses' time, if you recall. Moses, whom God worked all the plagues to deliver them from Pharaoh in Egypt. He takes them through the Red Sea. There's water, a wall of water on both sides, and I walk through dry ground. They had all the signs before them, but in a matter of moments, when Moses disappears on the mountain, what do they worship? A golden calf. It's not a miracle problem. It's not a sign problem. It's an idol problem of our hearts. We want the gifts that are here today, gone tomorrow, rather than the giver of the gifts. C.S. Lewis puts it this way. He says, it would seem that our Lord finds our desires not too strong, but too weak. We're half-hearted creatures fooling about this world with drink, sex, ambition, when infinite joy is offered us in the Lord Jesus Christ. We're like an ignorant child who's playing in the mud, making mud pies in the slum because we can't imagine there's something beautiful, a holiday out at sea for us to enjoy. And Jesus says, that is in me. Stop fooling about the things of this world and find your ultimate treasure, your ultimate satisfaction in the Lord Jesus Christ. Not just the blessings, but treasure Christ. Jesus says to them in verse 32, truly, truly, I say to you, it was not Moses who gave you the bread from heaven, but my Father gives you true bread. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. It's the bread that gives life. Life that's life-changing the day you receive it. The day you taste and see that Jesus is so good. Better than anything. Better than anyone. And you take him in. And Jesus is asking, do you want this bread? Do you want it? The people claim they want it. We'll see how in the next couple weeks if it's truly their heart's desire. In your heart of hearts, do you see Jesus as Lord and as Savior, your only hope for your sins? That you've been chasing after things, idols of your heart, thinking they will satisfy, and they only leave you in ruin. And Jesus says, let me take it. Trust in me as your king, as the true bread that you'll never hunger or thirst anymore. He says, take this bread. I am the true bread. Take Jesus this morning. Let's pray. Father, Lord, as we think of this question, do we love you because we just love you? Or do we love you because of the stuff, the blessings in our life? Lord, you're so kind and compassionate to give us these good things that we enjoy daily, and sadly we distort them with our thoughts, with our actions, and just create all kinds of garbage. Lord, I pray that we are people who are so in love with Christ that no matter what, we would rather be with him. We would rather be with him than have anything, that people could strip everything away from us and we'd still have it all. Because you are God. You are King. You are the one who gives life and life eternal. Bless your people. Heal your people. Change us, your people. Cause us to quit messing around in the mud pies of our hearts and see the glories that are ours in the Lord Jesus Christ. Help us to see, we pray, in Christ's name. Amen.